Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen problems in their home once and for all. This is Mandy Hammond. It has been a while since I posted an episode, and I am so glad to be back. So thank you for joining us today. If you're one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you're a new friend, we're so glad you found us. You are no longer alone. You have finally found your people. So if we have not met yet, like I said, I'm Mandy. I live in Iowa, so I'm right in the Midwest, in the middle of the country. And I've been working in one facet or another with the Screen Strong team since early 2020. I started as a mom with a screen story, like so many of you listening. I had, you know, tween/teenagers at the time. We were having lots of conflicts around smartphones in our home and social media, and I was very frustrated and found Screen Strong. And so I started with Melanie back then and said, you know, hey, we got to get something on Facebook. We got to tell people about this, because we did the detox and found out we got our kids back. And this was all right when the pandemic started. It was just a crazy time in the world all the way around. And so to take away screens during that time was crazy as well, but we did it. Some of you may have listened to my daughter, Lydia. Her story is on the podcast, was just on there a couple weeks ago, and kind of where she's at today. So it's just really neat to see that and know that Screen Strong literally changed the trajectory of our kids. And I know that they would not be the same children they are now as they're growing up and going off to college if we would have stayed where we were. Currently, my role within Screen Strong is that I head up our ambassador certification training program. So I'm the one that you contact if you want to become an ambassador. And we might talk about that a little bit more later to give a good plug for that in our program with that. But I am also consider myself an ambassador, and I am a speaker myself. So as of lately, I have been traveling. My daughter has been able to go with me, which has been so special. But I've been traveling more and more and seeing lots of parents just like you listening in person and getting to talk to them and hear their stories. So I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be boots on the ground and have more opportunities just to go wherever they'll take me and let me talk to the parents. And what's really neat that I'll open up with before we get to our guest is that we just recently got back from California, Southern California, and we were so blessed to be able to go twice within like a 6-week period. We went once to a church, and somebody there just thought our message was so amazing that they brought us back to speak at their school. Just in this last trip, we also had the opportunity to speak to students, and that's the first time we've had that opportunity. And it was just so cool. So we had a parent session on a Thursday night, and then Friday we went in and talked to 3 different groups of students, so 5th and 6th graders, which were my favorite. And then we talked to high schoolers, and then in the afternoon we talked to middle schoolers. And so just to kind of give you a picture of what this looks like, and depending on what age your kids are in or at, the 5th and 6th graders were our first kiddos, and they were so adorable. But it was funny because we had a little icebreaker, and we had them stand up and sit down, stand up, sit down, based on the questions we were asking them. And really our goal was to help them see that, hey, you're not alone. Like if you've seen inappropriate content on your phones, or, you know, if you've ever experienced being really sad after being on your phone, like these type of questions. And one of the questions I asked was, who has TikTok? And I was so honestly a little disheartened to see that so many 5th graders sat down. 5th graders. So these are like 10-year-olds. And, you know, then when I asked the question later, and some of these were lighthearted, and then we got more serious. And I said, you know, how many of you have seen an inappropriate picture, something you wish you could have not seen? And pretty much most of them sat down. And so just telling them, like, look, you're not alone. You're not bad kids, you know, this stuff finds you. And so, and then we talked to the high schoolers. It was like a totally opposite. Well, let me go back to the 5th and 6th graders first. They were so innocent still in the fact that they really wanted to do better. Like they were eating up the brain science piece of it, which I was sharing with them. And they were just so excited, you know, raising their hands for Q&A and saying, well, can I do this? Or is this bad for me? I had a kid at the end come up and say, is it okay that I play chess? And I said, on a screen? And he goes, no, in real life. I said, absolutely, keep playing chess. So they were just so eager to learn. And it made me realize that 5th and 6th grade age is such a great time to educate your kids on this, because they want to do better. They want to protect their brain, you know. And then we get to the high schoolers, and they're, you know, kind of past the point, and they are completely aware that they're addicted to their phone. They're completely aware that it's a distraction at school. And some of the suggestions they had at the end of our session were to put the phones away. like, what can we do better? Well, can we just put our phones away in class and just set them aside so we're not distracted? So the high schoolers really get it and they want to be rescued from this. They want a reason to not, you know, be on it. And then I'll talk about the middle schoolers, and we all know how hard middle school is, but those seventh and eighth graders were probably the hardest crowd that we've ever, that I've ever been in front of. And it was so funny because, you know, they're in it. And so they're, it's really hard for them to admit like that this is harming them. They kind of know, but they don't want to admit it. And so it's just, this was really interesting to see all these different kinds, these different ages, you know, and the different ways that they responded to our message. But Lydia was able to share her message as a teenager to these other kids, and it was great. It really resonated with them. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. And, you know, I'll never be, I'm just always surprised, I should say, when I do talk to the parents and some of this information comes out, like we'll probably talk about today, the information that ScreenStrong is just constantly putting out about technology and how it's harming our kids' brains. And I am always surprised to see the shock on parents' face when we talk about things like Grand Theft Auto and how, you know, most of us know that that is a pretty terrible game, very lifelike. But then you talk about Roblox and how kids can access strip clubs on Roblox and their parents' faces are just like, what? You know, jaws to the ground. Or, you know, Pinterest is one of the worst social media apps for pornography. And again, parents just go, are you kidding me? You know, so don't blame yourself if you don't know these things. But I just want to encourage you as you listen through the podcast and as you go on and take our course, you educate yourself and know so that you're armed, you know, with those words to just stay strong with your kids. So without further ado, I want to get to our guest. And again, I'm super proud of our ambassadors. I just have a lot of pride in this ambassador group. They're just awesome people that come to us that say, hey, we are passionate about this. What can we do to get this message out? So today we're going to have an awesome conversation with Sarah Hendricks, who is one of our certified ambassadors. And I knew when I met her for our one-on-one interview that we had via Zoom, because of course we're in different cities, that she would be an excellent podcast guest because she's going to get to share her experience and knowledge and passion with the rest of you today. So Sarah is a registered nurse by background with a master's degree concentration in leadership with acute care systems, but her longest clinical focus has been in neurosciences specialty. So if you know anything about ScreenStrong, if you've been around at all, you know we are all about the science and the brain science that happens around these screens. So we are super excited to chat today. So welcome, Sarah. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Mandy. I really appreciate the opportunity and I'm really looking forward to connecting here and continuing to be a part of the organization.
Yes, awesome. Well, so tell our listeners a little bit about you, your background, your family, and that type of thing to get us started.
Yeah, absolutely. As you already stated, I'm mom to a currently 5-year-old boy. He keeps me moving on the moment by moment basis, as we all know, during my weeks. And I work outside of the home in a senior leadership role within the healthcare industry. As you mentioned, I'm a master's prepared registered nurse by background. And I'm really proud to have, really, as I look back, the longest and largest clinical experience coming from the space of neurosciences. So based on all those things, it's certainly safe to say that brains are interesting to me and brains of kids are right here at the top of my list. And being a mom to my little boy has certainly brought its own unique perspective there, as you know. It's interesting when we think about healthcare and preparation of you know, healthcare roles and these kinds of things aren't a part of it. You know, we're learning the science of things. We're learning how to care for people who are acutely sick and different things like that. And so I find that the older I get and the more awareness I have on so many different levels, the more I find myself interested in the different niches of neurosciences and the impact of neurosciences on society and what we need to be thinking about.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that we're not talking about the brain part of it, even in med school and, you know, that type of thing? Like we're attracting more and more doctors and pediatricians that are interested, like you, that are like starting to be interested in that type of thing. But for the most part, this isn't common knowledge, it seems like.
Yeah, they're getting technically trained. We're getting technically trained, physiologically, pathophysiologically trained, and really to address acute issues. And I think the mental health arena would also agree, you know, some of these things have really been such pop-ups over the last decade uniquely that weren't always part of training a long time ago. Things are different than they used to be. People are different than they used to be. The things that we're able to have access to are different. And so it's been this rapid scenario of change as well. But the teams are technically trained in these roles. And some of these scenarios are brand new in this world. And I think there's that complexity as well.
Yeah.
I mean, doctors will say, you know, oftentimes we're trained to treat the disease. Nurses, we're trained to treat the situation. But we're not necessarily even very well trained to prevent. And that's a lot of rising conversation in the industry as well. And so that's really picking up steam on so many levels, this being part of it.
Yes, no kidding. And Screen Strong, that's our biggest thing, is saying, how can we prevent this? You know, that's our messaging. It's like, you can prevent screen addiction. You can prevent these issues and these mental health issues happening with your kids. So tell me, how did you find Screen Strong?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this and how we found Screen Strong and came about it a little over a year ago in my son's first year in primary school at a local Montessori school within the Charlotte area. We had a great experience of learning so much through a book club effort and a technology awareness week. And through that technology awareness week is where I became aware of Screen Strong. We had a couple of scenarios that week where we were reading a book club book called Wired Child by Richard Fried. I know that's a book near and dear to the Screen Strong mission and one that is talked about frequently in conversation through the channels here. And then later in that technology week, we had the real pleasure of seeing and being a part of a presentation that was given by one of our own Screen Strong ambassadors. And so it was educational, it was inspiring, it was empowering. And honestly, from that point on, I've just stayed engaged with the organization and am more and more passionate by the day to help to support the mission and to live a Screen Strong lifestyle and help others along the way as well.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Okay. So I love that you found us and that we found you. This is great. So let's talk about where, and I'll just let you take this wherever you want to go. Okay. But talk to us about neuroscience and how it is related to screens and developing brains. Obviously that's our main message, but have you personal research you've done or just where you're at in this journey of learning, and just tell the listeners whatever you want us to hear.
Absolutely. I think, you know, to not get too scientific and along a way that loses anybody in it, I think our mission is to share the high messages of it, but you know, everything that goes in really hits every cellular level of our body. And I think thinking of our brain as a control center of all things really puts in a perspective to everything we do, what we consume, what we think about those things that we consume, what those things tell us that we should do based on what we consume. Our brain is this massive control center that does so much for our bodies. I think everybody can resonate with that and understand that from a screen standpoint. And I think from a neurological and neurosciences perspective, screens toward an underdeveloped brain in our kids is the toxic component, right? I think that there's not all screens are created equal, and not all bad is equal bad. I think we all agree on those things, and that's part of the mission here. But the impact and what really is, I know Melanie and guests really talk about a lot, is that impact on the frontal cortex of the brain. And I think specifically for kids, that frontal cortex, that decision-making center, that emotion center of the brain for all of us, but specifically in scenarios where it takes many, many years to naturally develop, is the real target here. And that part connected to kids and different ages of kids, and depending on the content that we're consuming, can change our brains, and it can keep our brains from developing the way that we need them to and want them to live and thrive throughout our lives, to learn in school, to sleep at night, to have and build and maintain good relationships, to getting and keeping a job, all the way along. And so that, I think, at the heart of the neuroscience behind how our brains work, how they consume, how they thrive, and really technology and the role that we know that plays in so many levels. We know that if we're looking at screens late at night, that we don't sleep well. We know that if we're consuming too much information in general, you know, throughout the evening or night, like that impacts all of us. What we see impacts all the messages that we tell ourselves as well, and what we know and what we think and how we act. And so from an innate scenario, that's where this is rooted, and that's where our brains and the neuroscience of how we are made up make a difference.
Right. And one of the things we say in our presentation a lot is the brain is what the brain does. And knowing that what is going in the eyes and the ears, like it's changing the brain. I don't know if you saw, have you seen the most recent Dove commercial that came out about social media? It's a tearjerker, but it literally shows these clips of this little girl, starting out probably 15 years ago or whatever on a phone, doing her little videos for YouTube or whatever. And it's so sweet and innocent. And it just shows, it's like this montage of videos, and it just keeps showing her kind of growing up. And basically, long story short, because of social media, she developed a eating disorder and, you know, was hospitalized for it. And so it just goes in this whole thing about how social media is affecting the way that especially girls think about themselves. You know, and it's just such a precious ad. I think it's coming out in one of our next newsletters. That's where I saw it. And I was like, this is great. So when you get our newsletter, make sure you watch that. And they're basically saying social media is more toxic to our kids than we think, you know?
Absolutely.
And when they have these toxic screens that at Screen Strong, we consider toxic screens, social media, video games, pornography, those are the ones that are literally changing kids' brains, you know, on MRI scans. Like we're seeing this on scans now. So how are you doing things with your son? So would you consider yourself, you've been Screen Strong since the beginning, or did you go through a process of like, oh, these aren't good for him, we're going to take them away? Or tell us a little bit about your personal story.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that my family's been, I'll consider us lucky. We were already on a Screen Strong path. From him being at a young age, a Screen Strong path, having an awareness of what we wanted to do, how we wanted to live, how we wanted to raise him. But I'll say on top of that, we certainly didn't have the greater awareness, education, resources that Screen Strong has given to us. And that has been a true gift that continues to really form the way we live and lead, making such a difference for us, our family, and I think even others that can resonate with conversations that I'm in, among others. And so we were on the path, but we also hadn't met that many challenges yet. When I think about how little he was, you know, when your kid's a baby and a small toddler, I mean, there are plenty of moments and those marks where you can make a bad move and get down a path that you don't want to go, but it's a different time. I'm probably most nervous. I don't like to use the word necessarily, but most nervous in anticipating of these years ahead, starting with now and hearing so many different parents and what they are challenged by and what they're talking about. And some of the things that you shared kind of in your opening story to this podcast about where folks are challenged and just that where the rubber meets the road of when you're going to have to make quick decisions, talk to other parents, be willing to stand tall in your values and what you know is right. And with that, having to make some hard decisions around that. So we started off on a good path. And I'm so grateful for that because we didn't have to dig out from something that was really hard. And I hear that story a lot. And I really commend and resonate that the folks going through that are, they're trying to do the right things. And it's a hard path for everybody. So I'm glad we didn't start there. But I think all of the work maintains ahead of us. I don't think the work is ever done there, especially with the way our society, our peers, our friends, the people that we're surrounded by are aligned today. And it's hard work.
Oh, for sure. And anything that's worth anything, it's hard work, right? And I think Absolutely. That even teaching our kids that is such an awesome skill that they will be so proud to have later on in life, even if they don't love you or like you right now because you've taken it away or you haven't allowed it or you're choosing to delay, they're not going to be happy with you for a time. But there will come a point like those high schoolers that I saw, and I saw it with my own kids, those middle school years are the worst to try to convince them that this is what we're doing. But if you just stay strong and get through those times, you'll get to high school and they'll start to come around again and realize, oh, like I am enjoying life a lot more and I'm not having anxiety and depression like my, you know, friend Susie over here. Like I feel so much more free and all these things. So would you say that was just really, I mean, obviously you have education in this area, but was that apparent like gut feeling to just kind of go Screen Strong from the beginning?
Yeah, I think it was gut feeling. I think it goes back to having awareness as a healthcare professional and one in this area. I also know that there are plenty of people who have, you know, medical backgrounds, nursing backgrounds, science backgrounds that don't get that early on. And so I don't want to say that that's a proof way to get through. But it is something that I know that we thought about and had intention on very early on. And that was so critical. So I think for any very young new parents, folks that are listening and becoming aware as early as they can, that's the key. I think our mission really getting out there to that population is key to really getting at that prevention and having folks understand before it really is even ready to become a problem. But there are stuff out there technically for so many ages, you know, there's all those things like, oh, here's a piece of technology, give it to your baby. Maybe they'll be a genius and can read by the time they're three. If you do this, you know, I think there's so much marketing, there's so much out there that we know grabs us. It's meant to do that. It's meant to grab our attention and think, oh, if we do that, we're going to do all the right things by that. And you know what? Technology is part of our world. So we better go ahead and learn to live with it. It is part of our world. It will be part of our world. It is as good as the day that we're in right now too, because it's always going to evolve. And so we're always going to have to be ready to meet that in its moment and respond to that and to use it for good, but know where the line is. And I think that's the part that I've always had some awareness and intention over and some drive over and continue to have that. One of the things with our little boy now is, you know, the influence in school. And I'll say our school, we're very lucky. And I've heard other parents be able to talk a little bit about this, where it's so important to have a school behind it. And our school will not allow technology, phones, kids to have phones at school all the way through the adolescent period in the program. And so I feel like that's in our favor. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that for sure. It doesn't mean that that's stuff isn't happening at home though, and in good intention, but in ways that, you know, our little guy is hearing now, well, what is Minecraft? And so and so is talking about that, or, you know, just those kinds of little tidbits that now that influence is naturally starting to come in. They start to have little friends. You want them to. And we have to start to explain that. And the unique part is explaining that in a way that he understands. And one of the things that I've been telling him is, you know, you're going to hear a lot of things, and different families are going to have different rules, and we're going to have ours, and there's going to be a good reason for that. And I've actually just started to let him know. He understands the body a little bit, and I'll let him know, you know what, you know, screens aren't very good for our brains. Our phones are tools. We use them to call people and be in touch. And I try to share those kinds of things. I've let him know that we're not going to have video games here, George. We're going to do different things, but here's what I promise you, we're going to do better things. And the other thing is, I'm going to tell you about this all along the way to help you best understand that.
That's awesome.
But you're going to hear some different things from people around you. And that's kind of where our message stops today, because I don't want to overload it. I know that there's only a certain portion of that he can truly grasp.
No, that's awesome. And that goes right along with some questions I even just had in my most recent Q&A. I guess it was actually on a recent ambassador check-in. One of our ambassadors was sharing out her, I want to say 7-year-old son or some, I think around that age, literally a boy called him weird because he didn't have video games. Said, "You're weird." You know, and he felt bad about that. And so we had this discussion around, you know, maybe it's okay to tell our kids, yeah, you might be called weird, you might be called, you know, different or whatever, but that's okay to be different. It's okay to, because we're going to do things a little different. These are our family values. But it's this fine line of also, so they don't judge their friends, you know, who don't know, right? And so it's really teaching our kids, like, this is what our family's doing. These are the values our family has. And yes, I know your neighbor, you know, gets to do X, Y, Z, but that's okay. That's their family's decision. This is our decision, you know, and always bringing it back to that. And I think you're doing a great job with that. Because isn't it fascinating, even though your George doesn't know all about all the stuff going on technology, like just the friends that he's around, like he's going to pick up on some of that stuff. Like, I think parents think, oh, my kid's going to be left out. And it's like, my kids know about memes and random sayings or the ways that kids talk today or whatever, and they're not on their devices, you know, so like they're going to pick up, our kids are not going to be left out. They're going to be left out of the bad stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's just being able to get comfortable and become rooted in the hard path. And to say it that way, and that, but it's a worth it. It's a worth it path.
That's exactly right. It's totally worth it. So tell me about, just so everybody knows, what are some of your favorite Screen Strong resources that you've tapped into since, you know, finding Screen Strong?
Honestly, my very favorite resource for Screen Strong is the podcast. I can always find a way and time to get it in. Mm-hmm. And it could be that it's that time where I can listen in the evening as I'm settling down. It can be that I can listen as I go on a morning walk before my busy day of work starts, or on a quick break if I have a chance to get outside. So it's the resource that I can easily consume, mm-hmm. and in so many different settings. The website, among that, so many good resources, books, opportunities, awareness, I think for those who are needing to go through the detox components, the detox course, the 7-day course, those are things that I would always recommend depending on where somebody is. And even if not, right, just understanding it, I think depending on no matter where you are in a journey, using all of those resources on the website have been so valuable to us. The online forums, the connection groups, both an opportunity to join a free forum with some aspects, and then also now to be connected within the ambassador group. Those are definite resources that I'm regularly engaged in. And of course, the book recommendations and other resource recommendations and the science that's out there on the website in general.
Good. Well, you just did the whole commercial for me, which is great. I love it. But that's what I love to tell people though. Like when you first hear this information, it can feel very overwhelming and well, how do I even navigate this? How do I, whether your child's in preschool or whether you have a teenager, it just feels really overwhelming at first. So our biggest advice is, hey, plug into our course and educate yourself, plug into the podcast and listen. Like just start from the beginning. I think we have over 150 episodes now. Like go through from the beginning, even though some of it might sound a little dated, like with stuff we've got going on or whatever, but the information and the facts and the research is the same, except that it's changing. it's coming out new every day, new reasons to not give your kids these toxic screens, but it will empower you. And that's really what you need. You need that empowerment in those words, behind your decisions to tell to your family, to tell to your, the neighbor or play dates or whatever it is, or even just your kids or your spouse. So when you're educated, there's so much power in that. So kind of as we wrap up, and I've really enjoyed our conversation, but tell me, what would you have as advice for parents doing this from the beginning? So say with small children, preschool age children, how do you navigate around family and friends or cousins or play dates? Have you run into that at all lately? Or what would you give advice in that arena to parents?
Yeah, for starters, I would just say, if you have an opportunity to start fresh and never get engaged in those things and those toxic aspects of screens to start with, again, the wrong content, video games, social media, the things that we're talking about here, don't do it. If you're starting or if you're in it, cut it out before it becomes any sort of a problem, and recognize it and cut it out. Remember, I think too, that screen strong doesn't mean screen free, but it does mean and require that we have a dedication to being really intentional, doing things differently, standing out from a crowd in a society where we know that the crowd is really in an opposite setting right now as a whole, and that we're really trying to blaze new ways in. Our home is not screen free, but it is screen limited. And we're really intentional in that. We're clear on our phones being tools. We don't have those open around him and looking at those and spending a lot of time on those in front of our child. When we watch TV, of course, I would recommend and always say content needs to be top of mind and heart. Just because it's out there doesn't mean we should. Just because it looks like it's directed to kids, pay attention, be aware of what's on there, mm-hmm. and pick the right things. We really try to minimize that time. And really one recommendation I always have too with that, and not being a toxic screen, but a mindful screen in a television, is we try to incorporate it more as a family activity. A movie night is a term here that we try to use and build it in as a little fun and a little connection time, but we're doing it together, not as a separate piece of what we're doing together. I will say too, this journey I think can feel lonely. It's okay and it's good. And I think, like I said before, get rooted in that, get comfortable in that, and find others, even if it's one other like-minded parent that you can be connected with in your journey. That's empowering. That's something that can grow from that point. We're now getting to the point of him saying, he's a little for it still, but can I have a sleepover? Can I go to so-and-so's house? And, it's kind of at that cusp of you're not quite ready for that at this age. And we should always be cautious of where our kids are going, who they're around, understanding that, knowing the parents. I think those are things that can never become lost in our kids' lives and our awareness of what they're doing. But one of the things that I would say, and I'm starting to have some conversations when I'm connecting with people to let them know where we stand on our values and what we're doing. And again, it's not to impose on what somebody else has to do or to come across as a, I'm right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, you're not going to get it right. That's not what you want to do in it. But I do want to start to make sure that what we have in our values is known and being able to have those conversations. We are not at a point where we said, hey, he's going to go over to somebody else's house and we're not going to be there. But I will say that when we get that moment, and it's not too far into our future, I'm going to have conversations and hard conversations to just say, hey, we don't have George playing video games. If that's something that you do in your home, I just ask that he doesn't do that while he's there. So I'm really mentally, physically, I guess, preparing myself for those conversations and being ready and willing to have them. And also knowing that they're hard and that there could be some scenarios there that are really challenging to navigate. It's hard with family too. I think, you know, from a family perspective, you know, that you face that in those scenarios too, where somebody's got a little handheld Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to do that. So want to make sure that in those scenarios, we're just clear on what we do and don't want them to do, really taking the stand of educating him on what we do and don't want. And the why behind that is it can make sense to him. And really a lot of redirection, you know, when you're in those scenarios, say, hey, you know, does anybody want to go out and do something else? Yeah. Let's go play a game. Let's go do this. So I think that redirection of creating a better activity. That's the other thing that we're trying to do is stay very, very busy yes. with other activities and just changing, building him in a way that changes the way he spends his days. He doesn't want to turn on the TV. Like that's what's like, we're actually seeing that transformation too, even just from a non-toxic screen and in a limitation, he doesn't want to do it. He wants to get out. He wants to ride his bike. So I think that if you can get over a cusp of like, if you start to create a habit, then those are the things you start to see. And it's not in a very long turnaround time. Be ready to have those conversations, be ready to lean into other parents, be ready to ask the hard questions and just be ready to state what you need when you're kid is in their presence and ultimately in their responsibility as they get old enough to be in those scenarios and be able to face those and then have your kid understand what do you expect and the why. And that's where we are. And that's the advice that I would give to others at our state and really beyond.
Yes. Oh, that was just so good. Thank you for sharing that. And it's so reflective of what I'm hearing when I'm talking to parents. Like these are the things they're literally upset about or they don't know how to handle. I know I had a mom last week say, well, we go on this vacation every year with this other family and they all bring their iPads. What do? I can't just be like, no, you can't look at that. And I kind of give that same advice of like, when you're that parent that's not allowing it, like it's going to be your responsibility to come up with all the creative stuff. Like you've really got to think outside of the box and say, okay, I love the redirection thing you just said, because that's exactly what parents need to do. And sometimes we get a little stumped and we really just need to go back to, well, what did we do when we were kids, you know, and just start to get creative in that way and fill up the time so they don't have time to sit on their iPads, you know, and at the end, vacation or whatever. It's like, no, I'll bring a new board game or just do something. And yeah, having those conversations are really huge as your kids start to play with other kids. But if you're confident in your decisions, then, you know, it can be maybe a little bit awkward, but it's okay to be awkward, right?
Others notice. And I think it is okay to be awkward and it takes a long time to get comfortable being awkward. That's why I feel sorry for kids. We've all been there and we know what that's like as well. And so I think always remembering that too, and never forgetting what it was like to be in those shoes along the way. It's easier as a parent that gets confident, but even then you worry, you know, you don't want to be, you know, rub somebody the wrong way. You don't want to make them feel bad in your pursuit of what you need. I mean, there's so many pieces there that you try to have integrity in. It's worth it. And we all have to lean in on it. And people notice when you're doing something a little different and kind of, it's a great conversation starter when it happens, but you can learn pretty quickly when somebody's willing to have the conversation and when somebody's not. Yep. And paying attention to those cues, but also making that a guide in how you decide what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, maybe who you're going to be around and who you're not. And those are hard things. And I know we've talked a lot about that here, but also I hear that in the podcast on a regular basis that sometimes those things do come to a head and it's a challenge, but just really staying rooted, you can be firm and kind in your approach of what you need and why, and just maybe and not just maybe, but you will, I think, have an influence that's positive around you as well.
Yes, for sure. There is a quote. Let me see if I have it here. I love this. It's from Breaking the Trance. George Lynn is one of the authors on that. And he said, I think this is on a podcast a long time ago, but I came across it. I had written it down. He said, say no out of love, not yes out of fear. Your kids will thank you. And I love that because a lot of times our fear is that others won't like us or accept us. Our kids won't like us. You know, they'll be angry with us. But the reality is when you choose to say no to these toxic screens, you choose to delay, you're really saying out of love. Don't say yes to it because you're scared that your kid's going to get left out or whatever. So I just love that quote. And I'm always thinking about it. I mean, that goes for all facets of parenting, but especially with screens. So thank you so much for being on today, Sarah. It was such a pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise. Same here. I really enjoyed it and I'm proud to be a part of this and the mission and share.
Yes, I love it. I love you're right there in the Charlotte area too, which is where Melanie's at. So I always say we need more people in that area too, because she gets a lot of requests, you know, for people to come talk or whatever. So we're glad to have some more people in that area. If you are interested in having an ambassador come and speak at your school or church, organization, MOPS group, that type of thing, you can find our list of ambassadors on our website. We have an interactive map that you can go to your state and see kind of who's in your area and contact them directly. Or you can go through our website, screenstrong.org/workshops, and fill out a workshop form. And those actually come to me. So you'll hear from me. I can kind of tell you what we have to offer via webinars or in-person workshop, that type of thing. But again, education is key. So if you'd like to get this information to some people that you love and know, that's the way to do it. So your homework today, because I know Melanie loves to give homework, so I had to think of some, but my homework for you is to stay strong, dare to be different. If you are looking for a detox, go online, get our lifestyle course, which includes a 30-day challenge, and make a plan with your family to do a challenge together. Maybe as you go into summer and school's out is a great time to do it because there's plenty of things to do. And you just fill those 30 days with awesome things with your kids. And by the end of it, you will see different kids and you'll realize that, wow, we don't value these screens as much as we thought we did. If you have not joined our Connect group, which is our online forum that is off of social media, yay, we do still have our awesome Screen Strong Families group on Facebook. You're welcome to go there and that's great. But we would love for you to come over and connect with us in the Connect group. And you can go in there for free. It's a free sign up. We do have a subscription level called Connect Plus, and that's going to give you access to a ton of more things. But the basic Connect group is just going to put you in the community. You can ask your questions, that type of thing. But just so you remember, we are a nonprofit organization. So please consider donating to keep these podcasts coming. And again, if you're interested in being an ambassador, like Sarah is, you can contact me through the website or through my email, mandy@screenstrong.org. So remember that we've got your back and we are here to help you remove the screen conflicts from your home. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.